हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे नवशेषशून्यवादी अशचादेशकारिणे ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादिनी अशत्यादशतारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोभक्तवृंद श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोभक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोभक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गोभक्तवृंद जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी 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 जय गोपी जनवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंद वल्लभ जय जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंद नवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंद नवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंद नवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर मन चारी यमुना तीर मन चारी यमुना तीर मन चारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare Hare
जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमन हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोविंद
gopal 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 radha gopala nanda radha nanda radha jay radha gopala nanda radha gopala nanda radha jay radha gopala nanda radha gopala nanda radha jay radha gopala nanda radha nanda radha jay radha gopala nanda radha gopala nanda radha jay sita ram lakshman hanuman 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 jay gaura nitai 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 gaura nitai jay gaura nitai jay prabhu pada 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 jay prabhu pada
జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రదాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్టోం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలేశమిది భక్తి విదాంత స్వామిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददादिं स्वपदान्दियं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांद राधा कांद नमोस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनं मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं नमोऽस्तु देव्यास विशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णं प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुलम् अश्वत्थामापि कर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवाम् पाराशर्यवजः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवे वेदैः साङ्गपदे क्रमोपनिषदेर्गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द सो बिफोर वी स्टार्ट Just one or two things, just wanted to make a little announcement. This verses what we have now recited, the which is called the Meditations on Bhagavad Gita. These verses, Srila Prabhupada has translated them before he came to the West, before he came to America. He has translated these verses into English. But it was written in a verse form in English, rather than a each verse he has written in English, and all these, totally there are 9 verses, he has done this before he came to the West. So if you want a copy of this, you can take it from me and make a photocopy and give it back. If you want to read Prabhupada's verses, how he translated them into English, the same verses. Like Sarvopanishado Gavo, Prabhupada translated the Upanishads are as a herd of cows. Lord Krishna, son of a cowherd, is their milker. Arjuna is the cow, the supreme nectar of the Gita. Is the milk, and the wise man of purified intellect is the drinker. So like this, this beautiful translation in English of the same verses, you can see how Srila Prabhupada was fond of these verses from the translations. That's one. Then secondly, we have been asked to start the classes at 4:30 every Sunday and finish at 7:30. Because there's some other program after that. So at least this month, that will be the program, I have been told. When Sidharam comes back from India, then we will again look at it and they will make a decision what the timing should be. At least for this month, we'll start at 4:30 and finish at 7:30. Then the third thing, as I mentioned, I think, to a few of you, that we are planning to go to India in January, just for 10 days. That means 2 Sundays we won't have classes. The 14th of January and the 21st of January. 2 Sundays we won't have classes. Few of us are going to Kerala to visit a few ancient temples which are related with Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who are interested to come, they are more than welcome. If they could give the email address to Naveen, he will let you know all the different information what we mean to collect together. So that's another thing I wanted to mention today. So, in the Vaishnava tradition, as you know, that one of the most exalted acharyas in the Vaishnava tradition was Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya has the personality who brought Vaishnavism into such a strongly into the world, being an incarnation of Lakshmana, and also Balaram, and also Adishesha, on whom Mahavishnu lies down. They are all Ramanujacharya's previous forms. So when Ramanuja came here, Ramanujacharya established this 108 locations where Vaishnava worship is prominently performed. There are 108 places of them. And out of them, they are located in different areas. And 13 of them falls in Kerala. And out of that, we plan to visit 2 of them this time. And the Alvars, who appeared at the much before Ramanujacharya in the history, they sang what is known as Divya Prabandhams. They are glorification of Mahavishnu, glorification of Vishnu, and Vishnu worship. They are beautiful verses. They are nearly 4,000 verses they have compiled. And they were sung by what is known as Alvars. Alvars are the famous they were the great devotees of Vishnu. And one of them, as you probably know, Kulashekhara Alvar, he wrote Mugundamala Stotram, the glorification of Vishnu by Kulashekhara Alvar. So Kulashekhara Alvar and Nama Alvar, they have sung these what is known as Pasurams, they are called Pasurams, these glorification of Vishnu, referring to certain deities in many of these 108 locations. Out of the 108, 106 are in this planet, and the 2 are outside the material world. One is the ocean of milk, and the other one is in Vaikuntham. That is how the Ramanujacharya talks about that. So they are very prominent places of Vishnu worship, or Krishna's devotees, it's very dear, and we intend to go to 2 of these places during this visit. So anyone who would like to come are more than welcome. They could give the email address to Naveen. Naveen will let you know in time the different steps where we are going further from now. At least we should know in a few days' time if you would like to come, and then we'll let you know in future what happens. So, that's that much. Then, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, we were discussing 13th chapter. Bhagavad Gita is such an important Vedic literature that once you are affected by Bhagavad Gita, then it is very difficult to leave Bhagavad Gita, because the beauty of Bhagavad Gita is the science of the soul, the science of the soul. There is no other literature in the whole world which gives us that understanding of us, understanding of ourselves better than Bhagavad Gita. Everybody else talks about everything else in this world, but who knows about ourselves as well as Krishna knows? So that's why this Bhagavad Gita is such an important literature, and once you have got into it, then you will also relish the thoughts what Krishna was trying to get to us, or the what he was driving at. And as you analyze it from the Krishna's point of view, not from our point of view, not from the point of view of the people in this world, but from Krishna's point of view, if you understand it, if you understand Bhagavad Gita, then a lot of this illusion that is enveloping us in the material world will go away. Those illusions will not stand in front of Krishna's powerful words in the Bhagavad Gita. That's the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. We will see that as you go from chapter to chapter, particularly this 13th chapter, is so powerful that when you understand it, then you really opens up the eyes of an individual. And Krishna says, Shruti Parayana, one who is fond of knowing, to him this knowledge should be spoken to. That is the way Krishna has spoken about that in the Bhagavad Gita. Shruti Parayana, one who is fond of Shruti, one who wants to hear this, to others you shouldn't talk about it. So, this is why we were discussing this 13th chapter, where we have seen last Sunday that what Krishna has said about the presence of the super soul within the body. That is what we are discussing. Presence of the super soul within the body. Let us go to that again. Verse number we have been discussing was verse 19. That's where we start again. Verse 19. Thanks. Verse 19. Idi kshetram tatha jnanam nyeyam choktam samasata malbhakta edad vijnaya malbhavayopa padhyade. That's the word where we stopped it. Idi kshetram tatha jnanam nyeyam choktam samasata malbhakta edad vijnaya malbhavayopa padhyade. Now, before we go into that, as I mentioned before, in this 13th chapter, we start with one thing, that is, Arjuna asked three things, isn't it? Pragati and Purusha. Pragati and Purusham Chaiva. Then Pragati and Purusha, first thing, first pair. Then Kshetram and Kshetrajna, second pair. Kshetram Kshetrajnamevaja. Edadudhijnaya Jnanam Jnayam Chakeshava. Jnanam and Cheyam. The third pair. So, here, Krishna is saying that, if you understand the Kshetram, Krishna called the material body, our body as Kshetram, isn't it? And that is why this is called as Kshetram, material body is Kshetram. And I mentioned why it is called Kshetram, because this is the body, it is like a field where you generate karmam. It's a field for generating karmam, good karmam and bad karmam. So that's called Kshetram. And it is called, inside the dweller of the Kshetram is Kshetrajnan. Or the Kshetrajnan, or the person which is Krishna, who is occupying inside us. Now, after speaking in the Veshti form means this form of us, in a miniature form we are in this creation, Krishna spoke about the Samashti form, that's a gross form, which is the whole creation, and he called it as Prakriti. Prakriti is nothing but Kshetram in the gross form. And in that gross form, Purusha is there. So, Kshetrajnan in this gross material body becomes Purusha in the gross creation. Becomes Purusha in the gross creation. Now, different times, Krishna will use different words. Different words for same thing. He will be referring in different terminologies. Now, you shouldn't ask why you have said like that before, why you are saying like this. That question doesn't arise because this is how the acharyas have given us this knowledge. You should not hold on to something and say that this is all what I accept, I don't accept it. No, that's not how it is. We have to go, you should leave it at that point and take the new one what Krishna has given. So, Prakriti, and we will know it, why it is like that after we go through this whole chapter, why it is used like that. It is the functional aspect of the Prakriti, material nature. That is what makes that difference. Why it is called Prakriti in one place, Maya in another place, Kshetram in another place. So, in relationship with this 13th chapter, these different terminologies will be used, but they have different functions, or in reference to something else is more important at that time, so that particular name is used in that instance. So, Prakriti and Purusha, Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, Kshetrajna and Jnanam and Jnayam. So Krishna is spoken in that way. So in the Vyashti form and in the Samashti form, it has been discussed. So to know that Purusha in this whole creation, permeating the whole creation, that is Krishna, that is what we are discussing, Prakriti, Purusha, Viveka, Yogam, that in this particular chapter, Prakriti and Purusha. How to separate between Prakriti and Purusha? It is a little difficult chapter, but if you focus carefully on this, you will understand the most of it. If you have any questions, please write it down and give it to me. And when we finish the classes, I have some questions already which I got with me, and I will add on to them, and we will go through it again later on when we finish Bhagavad Gita. Because otherwise, if we start now answering questions, it will probably delay the progress of the classes. So, if you have any questions on all these chapters, what we have spoken so far, please write them down and give it to me. I'll keep it with me, and when we finish Bhagavad Gita classes, I will come back to that, answer every question. And I also have other questions which I have with me, which I will also answer at that time. So, Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yogam is an important chapter. Important in the sense it's where Jnana Yogam begins in the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that Jnana Yoga begins in this chapter. We also must remember that Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. I have mentioned this many times before. Ekadasha Skandam Krishna spoke to Uddhava and Bhagavad Gita Krishna spoke to Arjuna. Now, because Ekadasha Skandam was spoken to Uddhava when he was 125 years old, he was 125 years old. Krishna was 125 years old. And Uddhava was also almost the same age. Uddhava was almost the same age. And due to that age difference, from when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Krishna spoke Ekadasham, when he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna was a younger person, much younger than Uddhava. For Arjuna was a young Kshatriya who had a whole life to be performed, or life has to go through, and in order to go through that, Arjuna had to continue through the Karma Yogam process of Karma Yogam, and Karma Yogam, in order to engage Arjuna in Karma Yogam, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But when it came to Uddhava, there was no question of any Karma Yogam for Uddhava anymore, because the time was almost over for Uddhava. You have to remember that. Krishna was leaving the planet. Uddhava was also very much aware that the time has come for him to go. There was no desire for him to live in this world. You will see in the Ekadasham later on what Uddhava told about that, when Krishna said he is leaving. When Krishna told Uddhava that he is leaving, the response from Uddhava was that what will happen here, he says. Can you not stay some more times? Because Uddhava's long association, 112 years with Krishna, even after that 112 years, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava now. So naturally, whatever Krishna has spoken to Uddhava is another perspective than what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. To Arjuna, it was Karma Yogam and Dhyana Yogam and so many other processes were discussed with Krishna in the discussed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But in Ekadasham, in Bhagavadam, Srimad Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam only refers to Jnana Yogam and Bhakti Yogam. There is not much of a Karma Yogam discussed there. Very, very little about Karma Yogam. Talked about it. Just reference to it. Why? Because of Uddhava's situation. So when spiritual great personalities are talking about Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, when he talks to someone, he will look at the person's position and then speak to him. Not that it's a blanket knowledge for everyone in one literature. No, you have to know the person's position, situation, and then speak to him accordingly. So that Krishna has adopted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you can very clearly notice that. That Krishna has spoken in one way to Arjuna depending on Arjuna's situation and spoke in a different way to Uddhava according to Uddhava's situation. So this disparity or this difference in the process you will notice in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That's one important point. Then secondly, from now on in Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you read through, requires a lot of contemplation and reflection on these verses. Because very nature of these verses is such that it affects us very heavily. In the sense that for the conditioned soul, there is nothing more valuable than the spiritual knowledge. Why we worship Krishna? Why we should worship Krishna? These things will be clearer when we read through these 13 chapter onwards. Up to the first 6 chapters, Krishna spoke about karmam, isn't it? He spoke about karmam. How one should purify oneself through the process of karma yoga. And then he spoke about jnanam in a limited way, and then spoke about sannyasam, jnana karma sannyasam also, dhyana yogam. And then bhakti yoga process he discussed in detail in 6 chapters. And now we have come to jnana yogam. So Jnana Yogam is an important chapter, and it's also for people who are very thoughtful, people who want to understand a little deeper into the subject of spirituality. These 6 chapters will be a very strong catalyst to motivate their desire for spiritual life. That's the beauty of these 6 chapters. So nothing in Bhagavad Gita is to be rejected. Everything is to be taken. Everything has its own role in our spiritual life. It has an important aspect in our spiritual life. That's what we shouldn't forget. So, Krishna says here, this in this 13th chapter, what we have now going through, this will come out very strongly in this chapter, in the remaining verses also. And as much as you understand it, try to spend some time to think about it, and if possible, read through the translation purports again and again in the Bhagavad Gita. And then you will notice there that this subject is a very illuminating thing. Spiritually, very illuminating. So, now let's go back to it. Verse number 19. Krishna says, Iti kshetram tada jnanam yeyam choktam samasadaha Malbhakta yedadvijnaya malbhavayopa padyade. Krishna says to Arjuna, Iti kshetram tadajnanam nyeyam cha samasada uktam. Malbhakta yedadvijnaya malbhavaya upapadyade. I have spoken, Krishna says, kshetram and jnanam. Kshetrajnam, jnanam and jnayam. Krishna said, kshetram, jnanam, jnayam. I have spoken about it. And my devotee, Krishna says, one who hears about it, he will understand, he will reach me at the end. And he will come, get liberated from this material existence. That is what Krishna says. Iti kshetram tadajnanam jnayam choktam samasadaha malbhakta edadvijnaya malbhavayova padyade. Kshetra means the material body, our body, human body. And jnana means knowledge. And jnana means the object of knowledge, which is kshetrajnan, or Krishna's presence in Chinnas as Kshetrajna. If all these things are understood, Krishna says, then his the conditioning of the jiva, which is jiva's conditioning, is upadhi. Upadhi it is called as Kshetram. That means the super soul, part and parcel we are, aren't we? We are part and parcel of Krishna. So when we are conditioned in one form, in one particular form, like this, any living entity for that matter, that form is called his upadhi. It's called his upadhi. Now, many terms, terminologies in this chapter, I'll use exactly the original words used in Sanskrit because it's difficult to get a exactly equivalent word in English. So, Kshetram, I'll use the word Kshetram, and Kshetrajna is Kshetrajna. Similarly, Upadhi is the Upadhi is the body where you are conditioned by that, which is our material body. So, when Krishna is limited to a certain environment, like a gross body, like ours, or a cat, or a cow, or a dog, or anything, doesn't matter, or a tree, or a plant, that is a Upadhi for Krishna. That's Upadhi for Krishna. Krishna is all-pervading, but he is present in a living entity, through a particular body. So that body becomes his Upadhi. It's called Upadhi. So Kshetram is an Upadhi of Krishna. In this is Krishna's Upadhi, this material body. So that's where we stopped. Then, in the next verse, Krishna is saying here, Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadhi Ubhavapi Vikaramscha Gunamscheiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Krishna says, Prakritim Purusham Cha Eva Ubhav Api Anadi. Both Prakriti and Purusha, I'll use the same words. Prakriti means material nature. Purusha means Krishna, the super soul who is pervading there. But I'll use the same words. Prakriti and Purusha, they are beginningless. They have no beginning. Anadi. Krishna says here, Anadi. Prakritim and Purusha cha eva ubhav api anadi. They are beginningless. They are beginningless. Anadi vidhi. Vikaramscha gunamscha eva prakriti sambhavan. Vikaramscha gunamscha eva vidhi prakriti sambhavan. Please be a little bit attentive on these verses because they are a little difficult to fully grasp. Prakriti has got vigaram and gunam. Do you know what it means? Vigaram means transformation. Prakriti can transform into something. It's called vigaram. This material body is a vigaram of prakriti. Material nature's vigaram is this prakriti. And gunam means the three modes. Material nature, which comes out from that. That is what it makes. When Prakriti mixes, Prakriti in conjunction with the modes of material nature, Vigaram takes place. Vigaram means this transformation takes place. So, Vigaramscha Gunamschaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Krishna is saying Vikaram and Gunam is a characteristics of Prakriti, not Purusha. It's a characteristics of Prakriti. So, Krishna says here, in the next verse also will come back like this. Karyam and Karanam. Two things he says in the next verse. Karya Karana Kartrutve. That verse has to be linked with this verse to understand it properly. Karya Karana Kartrutve. What is Karyam and Karana means? Karana means cause. And Karyam means effect. Karana means cause. And Karyam means effect. To give you an example, wheat flour, for example, let's say we use the wheat flour to make what? Chapati or puri or whatever we make out of the wheat flour. So, karanam is the wheat flour. And the karyam is chapati or puri. Karyam is chapati or puri because karyam has come from karanam. Karyam has come from karanam. So, karyam and Karanam, they are born out of Prakriti, Krishna says. Karyam, and not I'm talking only about wheat flour, I'm talking about everything in the creation. Karyam and Karanam has come from creation. Karyam and Karanam has come from creation. So Krishna says here that this material body is nothing but karyam of prakriti. Material body is karyam of prakriti. Prakriti is karyam. Prakriti is the karanam, and this material body is the karyam. Krishna says here. And this karyam, which is this material body, it has got vikaram and gunam. Vikaram and gunam accompanies this karyam. Karyam has got vikaram has got vikaram and gunam. Vikaram and gunam is a nature of this karyam or the body. But you must know, Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, that this vikaram and gunam has come from prakriti. You should know that. Material body on its own doesn't have it. It has come from prakriti. You should know that, Krishna says to Arjuna. In this verse, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that vikaram and gunam has come from prakriti. That is where it has come from. The shariram or the material body has got vikaram and gunam, and that has come from prakriti. And vikaramscha gunamscha eva vidhi prakriti sambhavan. But you must know that the vikaram and gunam has come from prakriti, but these vikaram and gunam, that has nothing to do with Purusha. Purusha has nothing to do with it. That's what Krishna is saying here. Purusha has no connection with this vikaram and the gunas. Just like in the, this is a very interesting topic if you really get involved in it and think through it. I'll just give you an example. In the next chapter, Krishna will talk about three modes of material nature. Now, three modes of material nature, how it gets in us and how it controls us is very little known to us. But every action we perform here has an element of that in it. Has an element of that in it. The modes of nature. Just like you all come here today to hear Bhagavad Gita here. What brought you here? What is that thing that told you to come and hear Bhagavad Gita? Clearly Krishna explains that in the later chapter. When the sattvagunam starts eliminating a person, a desire will come to hear spiritual knowledge, to develop spiritual knowledge, and spiritual understanding will come automatically. We are not aware of that. And that little sattvagunam that is going into our mind and intelligence, that is driving us, let's go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita today. It's a very simple example of that. That it is that little sattvagunam in a person that encourages him to come and to hear Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Now, the same thing, if you look at a person in Rajogunam, what will he do? That Rajogunam will be such that he will come, he will open the door, look, close it, and he will go away. This is Rajogunam. No, it's not his fault. It is that Rajogunam, what Krishna is saying here, is that's what it is inside that person. It's a very typical example of Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas in a person. Tamogunam, how will it work? He'll sit at home and making a judgment whether to go or not. Oh, it's such an endeavor driving all the way to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Rather, I'll switch on the telly and watch. That will be the conclusion of the Tamoguni. So, you can see how the three gunas works in a person. He's not aware of that. Please remember that. The person is not aware of anything. Whether it is in Satogunam or Rajogunam or Tamogunam. According to that gunam, gunam will dictate to him, this is what you do now. So, gunam is a call that is coming from prakriti which forces the person to act. You see? Gunam is the thing. Now, you can see why Satogunam is important. Because if Satogunam is there, the desire will be there to know these things. In the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, what Krishna is saying. But if Satogunam is not there, little Satogunam, that at that point tells him that let me go and hear what Krishna is saying. And let's try to understand this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. After all, Krishna has left this in this world before his departure. So when one has a little attachment for Krishna, one has a little desire to know Krishna, automatically that Satogunam inside will push him to come and to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. There is nothing other, no other factor that determines at that time, because it's a decision taken very momentarily. And so sometimes people decide some other important business may be there. He decides, okay, they can wait now. Let me finish Bhagavad Gita class today or here then. And that is the nature of Satogunam. A Rajogunam person, because he is disturbed inside, the Rajogunam is working so hard, he would come and he will look everywhere. He'll open and he will look. But he cannot sit. Why? Because inside, that Rajogunam is strongly controlling him. Rajogunam will tell him, oh, I have to go the other place, somewhere else, I have something else to do. Is there anything in this world that such an important thing that you cannot take seriously Krishna's words? That something, Rajogunam's effect is like that. Rajogunam will not allow you to sit. Even if you sit here 5 minutes, immediately you will get up. Then you get up and walk out, because something else has come meanwhile. See how controlled we are by the modes. It is the modes that's working at that time. Modes that is working at that time. So hardly you sit down, you'll get up immediately. Then you walk to somebody else I have to see. Or I told someone else that I'll meet him there and we have to talk about some other office business or something else. Gone out straight away. And then that disturbed nature, unable to focus on spirituality, on spiritual knowledge, is what that Rajogunam does. Rajogunam does this very strongly. It would not allow people, and anyone for that matter, to sit in a place and listen patiently or to think about these topics. Because this requires a certain degree of peace inside, certain degree of peacefulness inside. Otherwise, and especially in this modern world when things are very, very fast and people are absorbed in so many different kinds of activities and the environment is so restless, naturally that Rajogunam predominates everywhere. And therefore, sometimes you have to go away from this and find that peace wherever it is, to get that consciousness where you can focus and concentrate on Krishna's words and properly contemplate and evaluate this in your own mind. Otherwise, it will not penetrate into the heart. This is the difficulty. And why the sages went to the forest? For the same reason, to get that concentration, to get that focused on what great sages have spoken. So that is the nature of the Rajoguni. And the Tamogunam person, his nature is very simple. He doesn't have much of an effort. For him it's very easy. Decision is made straight away. He's all such an endeavor to travel all the way, to drive here. 1 hour driving one way, 1 hour return, and then sit there 3 hours. Oh, it's all too much for me. I worked all my week. Now I can't do anything anymore. Weekend is to be enjoyed and all strange ideas, because Tamogunam is dictating from inside. That's what it is. Tamogunam is dictating from inside. And when Tamogunam is prominent, very predominant, you won't be even able to come here. You will not be able to even come here. You will settle down in the sofa set and keep clicking the different channels to look at. That is the very, very personified form of the Tamoguni, lying down in this sofa set and clicking the, what do you call that?
Remote control.
So Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. So Krishna is always saying to Arjuna that be situated in Sattvam. Sattvam helps. Because with Sattvam, knowledge will build up. What is the beauty of Sattvam? Prakasham, light. Illumination, knowledge. And light, illumination and knowledge will build up inside. And when once that builds up, then bhakti comes. Bhakti comes from Sattvagunam. Without Sattvagunam, there is no bhakti. Bhakti is a much advanced state of consciousness. But that can only come when Sattvagunam increases in a person. So that's why Sattvagunam's importance is stressed in the remaining next chapter. We'll talk later in much more detail about that. But here Krishna says that Purusha, or the super soul who is within us, he has nothing to do with this vikaram or the gunas. Purusha has nothing to do with the vikaram and the gunam. Just like a referee, remember I was mentioning in the football field, referee. Whether it is David Beckham or Ronaldo or anybody, as soon as he whistles, blows the whistle, he has to stop, isn't it? No matter who it is. Maybe Beckham is earning much more than the referee. But still, once he blows the whistle, referee blows the whistle, even if Beckham is playing, he has to stop the game, isn't it? Whatever it is in the football field. So Super Soul's position is like that. Super Soul's position is like that. He blows the whistle and we play the game throughout the life. That's what is going on with all of us. When he blows, we are finished, gone. Final whistle. That's it. So it is so perfectly managed. So perfectly managed. And as I said before, referee doesn't interfere in the game, does he? You can play whichever way you like, he says. But there is a rule I have set up. The Football Federation or whoever has set up the rule. That you have to follow. That following those rules, you can play your game. And my duty is only to watch. A silent spectator. Silent and controls everything at the same time. So that is the duty of Purusha in this creation also. That is what Krishna is saying here. Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadhi Ubhavapi Vikaramscha Gunamscheva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Prakriti is also referred to as Maya. And Purusha is referred as Alma. Purusha is referred to as Alma. So here he uses the word, Krishna uses the word Prakriti and Maya instead of Kshetram and Kshetrajnam. You must not think why he has used this word or earlier, why don't you use Kshetram and Kshetrajnam here. No, you have to leave that there. This is a little difficult here because as you go further you will see Krishna says something and then he will completely reject that, what he has spoken, and come to something else. So you have to know why it is done like that, because you have to start somewhere while talking about the function of the super soul and the individual soul and the material nature, how these are all interrelated. Apart from that, in Bhagavad Gita, in this chapter also you will notice many of the things are very unknown entities. For example, when we talk about karmam, jiva, ishvara, prakriti, maya, kalam, all these things are, we haven't got a very clear picture how it all affects the living entity. So a good background of all these things is necessary in understanding this Jnanamargam, these six chapters. All these things are to be understood properly. Otherwise, we will not understand the difference between jiva and the purusha, and prakriti and maya. All these things we need to know. Why it is the difference between prakriti and maya? Prakriti is called trigunalmiga. Trigunalmiga means who has got three modes of material nature. And another terminology used is maya for the same. Maya means illusion, we say in English, but it's more than that. It is not simply an illusion. Maya's role in Ekadasham we will discuss, and later in the Bhagavad Gita also it's a little bit covered about Maya. And Maya is a very, very important factor in the Vedic philosophy. Maya is a important Vedic factor in the Vedic philosophy. In other religious processes in this world, it doesn't look like that. They have not taken Maya at all into consideration. They don't understand, probably not, or they do not have that realization on Maya while they have propounded their philosophies. But in Vedic philosophy, Maya is a very dominating force, very dominating role, because penetrating and breaking through this Maya is the main business. Maya means ignorance also. In other words, illusion as well as it is ignorance also. Because when you act within Maya, the knowledge is not perfect. Everything what you are experiencing in Maya is imperfect. I can give you so many examples, and think about it when you have some time and you will see some truth in all these things. Just for example, say someone dies at home, a very close member of your family dies at home, and you felt so distressed or upset about it. Whole day you have cried, say father died or mother died or son died or daughter died, somebody, doesn't matter who it is. Someone died at home, you felt very distressed. Whole day you have been in a very sorrow mood and stayed. The same day, night comes and you got so tired you slept. Isn't it? You slept. Once you have slept, you're not experiencing that sorrow anymore, do you? So, who was experiencing that sorrow? It was not, you were not experiencing the sorrow actually. In Jagrat state, when the mind was active, the mind was experiencing the sorrow. So, as soon as the mind stopped its function,
the so-called crying for that person who was departed has also finished there itself. Just imagine the Maya in that. How Maya, that's why realized souls do not get affected by this. Ordinary conditioned soul feels the distress. We cry, we feel unhappiness about departure. But imagine this, that I know very well that I am not this mind. Mind is, I am trying to control the mind. Me the person, trying to control the mind. But when I am suffering, I don't know the difference. I am just suffering, that's all. I was suffering throughout the day because of the departure of the friend or relative, whoever it is. And I cried whole day. But where is my distress at night when I left my mind there? Where was the distress gone? So does it make any sense that crying in the day? Does it make any sense that crying during the day? In the night I am not crying when I am sleeping. In the morning when I wake up I start crying again for what I have been thinking about. Because in the night when you were sleeping, the soul has delinked. It has broken that connection with the mind and it has gone to its own way into a third state like sushupti or deep sleep. And so clearly shows that in Jagrat what you are experiencing, or in the vacant state what you are experiencing, and what you are feeling so-called happiness or distress, all these things is nothing but a game of the mind. And when we do not understand this, we get completely affected by that. And we think, oh, this happened to me, why did this happen to me, why did that happen to me? But as long as you move into the sushupti stage, the whole scenario has changed. It is equally, not only distress I'm saying, it's equally applicable to any happiness. Say you won a 10 million pound lottery also. You can only enjoy when you are in Jagrat. When you go into sushupti, the 10 million has no value there, is there? Where is the 10 million? Only thing is probably you'll get a better sushupti if you have 10 million in the bank. That's the only possibility. Or it's also possible that due to the overpowering nature of that 10 million of a person, he may be not be able to sleep also. That also can happen. So just see the nature, how Prakriti manipulates us. How Prakriti manipulates us. And we are victimized by all these things, but we are not aware of any of these things, are we? We are just going on day after day, whichever way life comes. We say, we make certain statements also, take life as it comes. And we say that after all it's life, what can we do? That's life. Like this we say so many things, isn't it? But Krishna is saying here that you should understand all these things. What is the function of the mind? What's the function of the intelligence? And how you have to de-link yourself from all these different entities, mind, intelligence, everything, and be situated in the self, in the soul. And that is the process what Krishna is discussing here. It's a very beautiful chapter if you get interested in that. If you reject it saying that, oh, this is all boring and this is all not of much benefit to me, I'm a devotee, I don't need all this. If you reject it like that, then it's not interesting. But if you take it with you, and start reflecting and analyzing in your own mind, you'll find a lot of good understanding comes about life from this. And that makes your life much more worthwhile living. Because generally, we don't get any satisfaction in anything what we do in this world. Whether bringing up a family, doing the job in the office, social work and community service, or football matches, nothing will give you any happiness in life. Why? Because they are not meant for that. The real happiness is when one realizes what he is. And that Krishna forcibly brings it out in the next few verses. Let's look at that. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidhyanadi ubhavati vikaramscha gunamschaiva vidhi prakriti sambhavan karya karana kartrutve hetu prakriti ruchyate purusha sukha dukhanam boktrutve hetu ruchyate. Krishna says, karya karana kartrutve hetu prakriti ruchyate. Karya karana kartrutve hetu prakriti uchyate. In other words, prakriti or material nature is the karanam of karyam and karanam. That's how Krishna says. Karya karana kartrutve hetu prakriti uchyate. Prakriti is the hetu. Hetu means also karanam. Karana means cause. So, prakriti is the cause of karyam and karanam. Krishna says here, prakriti is the cause of karyam and karanam. And what else? Purusha sukha dukkhanam boktrute heturuchyate. Sukham and dukham, happiness and distress, boktratvam means sukha dukham. Sukham means happiness, dukham means distress. Boktratvam means the enjoying these things. In enjoying, in the result will be either happiness or distress, isn't it? Now, when we are talking about this, you must know what it is referring to. It's referring to the five senses of knowledge. Through these five senses, what do? We are continuously acquiring different information from this world. It's not only information, eyes sees and takes pleasure in that, nose smells and takes pleasure in that, ears hear and takes pleasure from that. Similarly, all the five senses, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam and gandham, isn't it? Five things. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam and gandham. That means sound, touch, form, taste and smell. These are the five senses of knowledge that we are experiencing throughout the day. So Krishna says here, kari karana kartrutve hedu prakriti ruchyate. Karyam and karanam has come from prakriti. Purusha sukadukhanam boktrutve hedu uchyate. The enjoyment that is coming from these five senses and their sense objects, it is, the cause of that is actually Purusha. Purusha sukadukhanam. The happiness and distress from that is experienced by the Purusha. Purusha sukadukhanam boktrute heturuchyade. Krishna says like that. Everything will be refuted later by Krishna himself. The same thing what he has spoken now. I will come to that later. But you must, for the moment, because you have to start from somewhere, so Krishna is starting from this platform that understands the difference between Prakriti and Purusha, Krishna says here. Eventually, Krishna will bring us to the point that all these things have nothing to do with the soul. Soul is totally independent, part and parcel of Krishna. And when one comes to that platform of realization, then you are self-realized. Then there is nothing to do with the matter anymore. That is the beauty of Krishna's knowledge. Krishna is speaking in such a way that how step by step he breaks us away or he detaches us from the different connections with the matter. So, karyakarana kartrutve hetu prakriti ruchyate purusha sukha dukkhanam boktrutve hetu ruchyate. Then, karyam karanam, karyakarana kartrutvam. So, I mentioned before, karyam and karanam, they are coming from prakriti, isn't it? So the cause is prakriti and the karanam is prakriti. Karyam and karanam is coming from prakriti. As I gave you that example, the wheat flour, you can convert that into chapati or puri or something else. different things, preparations you make from that. So in there, the karanam is the wheat flour. Karyam is chapati, karyam is puri, karyam is something else, whatever that's made from the flour. So that is the difference between the karyam and the karanam. So cause of karyam and karanam is prakriti. But for happiness and distress, what we are experiencing, Purusha is the cause. You see, sukha dukham, or happiness and distress, the cause is Purusha. We'll explain that. Why is the cause of that? Sukham and dukham, the cause is Purusha. Purusha is the cause of sukham and dukham. Now, this prakriti, which is beginningless, and this Purusha, which is also beginningless, they have combined together and they have created what is this called as prapancham. Prapancham means this whole gross material manifestation, the whole manifestation, cosmic manifestation. That when Purusha and Prakriti had worked together, they have created this sthula prapancham. Sthula prapancham means the gross cosmic manifestation is the sthula prapancham. Sthula prapancham is that, what it is called, sthula prapancham. So in that sthula prapancham, what Krishna says here is that how the Prakriti has developed, we have discussed before. If you remember that, how the earth, water, air, ether and fire, from their sattvika amsham. Sattvika amsham means that is in the mood of goodness. came out shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Isn't it? If you remember that, the tanmatras they were called. I mentioned this before. We were calling it as tanmatra. Tanmatra means shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. The ability of the senses to enjoy these sense objects. Where did that come from? That came from the five material elements. Remember? Earth, water, air, ether and fire. All these things should stay in your mind. Otherwise, we will lose the connection. From earth came the ability to smell. The smell is the tanmatra of earth. Sushmamsham. Sushmamsham means the subtle essence of the earth. Is the smell. Isn't it? Gandham. Gandham means smell. Which is the subtle essence of the earth. Similarly, sound is the subtle essence of the sky. Remember? Sound is the subtle essence of the or tanmatra of the sky. And I have given the others also. The fire, air, earth, water, air, ether and fire. Shabda, sparsham. Sparsham means the touch. Touch is the subtle essence of the air. The quality of air in the subtle form is present in us. That is that ability to touch and feel. That is the subtle essence of the air. So, shabdam, sparsham. Then, rupam, form. Form is the form is the subtle essence of fire. Fire, subtle form present in us is the form. When we refer to a particular form, it is due to the presence of fire in that form that it is able to take that special form. You see? And similarly, rasam or taste is the subtle essence of that material element called water. So, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and the fire, five tanmatra they are called. Came from the sattva amsham of the tanmatra, or the mode of goodness. From there it has come out these things. And from rajogunam, when the rajogunam mixes with the material elements, another tanmatra comes from that ahankaram and all that. And similarly mode of ignorance, tamogunam mixes with the material elements, another things comes out of that. So like this you can see that the intelligence, material elements, tanmatras, they are all there in the prakriti. And when this prakriti interacts with purusha together, that is what is this whole cosmic manifestations. Whole creation is nothing but this. Prakriti and purusha has interacted. And from there this manifestation has come about. Krishna says here, as soon as the cosmic manifestation has come about, has developed, immediately transformations happens in this cosmic manifestation. So, what is the result of that? When the cosmic manifestation comes, sthula prapanjam comes from the vikarams of prakriti and purusha together, what is called as samsaram comes. Samsaram, you know this word, samsaram? Samsara sagare magnam dinam mam karunanidhe karmagraha grihitangam mam uddhara bhavarnavad. If you remember, in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, as the prayers we sing for Shrimad Bhagavatam, what do we say? Samsara sagare magnam. We have absorbed, we have completely drowned in this thing called samsaram. And this samsaram is that thing, what is called is happiness and distress in this world. What we are experiencing in our life. It is the result of this interaction between Purusha and Prakriti together. Just see how subtle everything is. We think that he has done this to me, therefore I am suffering. Or somebody else has done this to me. Or the NHS has did this, so my body has gone wrong. That's all this. These are all external causes. They are not the indirect cause. Indirect cause is Prakriti and Purusha is reacting and we are meant to suffer in our karma through NHS or through some bhupa or whatever that is. That's another side to it. But the subtle side of it is more important. Rather than giving importance to the efficient cause, you should give importance to the remote cause behind it. The remote cause is more important. So, because of the interaction between Prakriti and Purusha, we have to suffer the happiness and distress from that. Do you see that point? And this thing is called samsaram. We are experiencing this happiness and distress due to the interaction of the material nature, Prakriti, and Purusha, Krishna. Is interacting each other and samsaram comes to us. samsaram we experience. That is why it's called, in English they Prabhupada translates this material existence, isn't it? In fact, what is the first verse in the prayers to spiritual master? Samsara dhavananadidha loga tranaya karunya ghanaghanatvam praptasya kalyana guna arnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. Prayers to to the spiritual master begins with these words. Why is it spoken? Because he has pulled you out of this samsaram, from material existence. So, in the proper way, not giving you some relief temporarily by giving you some money or giving you a meal or anything. That's not how you extinguish this samsaram. This samsaram has to go from a person's mind by proper knowledge of the things, of Prakriti and Purusha, how they have interacted, and the result of that is sukham and dukkham, happiness and distress, and that is called. So when it is happening, you cannot do anything about it. All our planning and everything will not work, because it's happening on a much higher level. Between Prakriti and Purusha, this is happening. And nobody can do anything, whether it is Tony Blair or George Bush or Manmohan Singh, no one can go to that level and ask Prakriti and Purusha why you are doing this. They just have to play their games here. And there will be no solution to the problem also, because Shastram, Krishna, this is why Krishna is opening up our mind to a higher level of understanding, to know why things are happening like this. It's no point in saying, oh, this they did this, this. It's happening due to some higher cause. And Krishna is saying here, Prakriti and Purusha is interacting from that happiness and distress. Don't try to go against it and try to adjust it. It will not work. That's the point, what Krishna is making here. That the same thing Krishna has spoken before also. If you remember in the 7th chapter, if you look at it, you will see Krishna spoke about two Prakritis, Para Prakriti and Apara Prakriti. There, Krishna used different terms. Bhumi rapanalo vayu khammano buddhi revaja ahangare iti yame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Referring to 8 elements, 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. He says, Krishna says, this is my para prakriti. Isn't it? There, Krishna refers to it as para prakriti and apara prakriti. When you study Bhagavad Gita, you must always connect with other chapters. Just don't take one chapter and one verse and think that it is complete in itself. It's not. Because the way it is related with other chapters is important. Otherwise doubts will start coming up. Or there he said, is he saying something different here? This way we will get confused. Why? Because when Krishna spoke to Arjuna in the battlefield, he did not say, Arjuna, I'm not going to start talking about Sankhya Yoga. Write on chapter 2. He didn't say like that. Chapter first verse, verse number 1. Or did he didn't count the verses either. Arjuna or Krishna didn't count the verses. Nor Krishna put any title for any of the chapter. This all Vedavyasa has done later for our convenience. He has broken them up. But the whole thing is one. Bhagavad Gita is one literature. And we have to read through it again and back and forth and see all the connections between different verses, different chapters and different yoga systems and different processes. So much to know in Bhagavad Gita that when it goes in and you start looking at it deeply, only then you recollect and realize it, how this is a subject which is takes a long time to know. And you will admire and appreciate it, the beauty of this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So here, Krishna has said this before in the 7th chapter, Para Prakriti, when he mentioned about Bhumi Rapanalavayu Kham Mano Buddhi Revacha Ahangare Idiyame Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. That is my Para Prakriti, he says. Then superior to this is Apareyam Idastanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jivabhudam Mahabaho Eedam Dharide Jagat. The next verse Krishna says, there is another superior Prakriti, superior nature to that. That is my nature, and Jiva, living entity, comes from that. Or Jivabhudam Mahabaho Eedam Dharide Jagat. Living entity is a part of that Prakriti. In other words, part and parcel of Krishna. That is what Krishna has spoken about in the 7th chapter. And that's the same thing he is speaking here in a different way. In the terminologies used now is Prakriti and Purusha. That's all. So, here Krishna says here that as soon as Purusha has accepted Prakriti, Purusha accepted Prakriti with the result that the 3 modes of material nature control the Purusha. They overpowered him. They have covered him and made him under the control of the modes of nature. And as soon as the modes of nature covered him, he has forgotten his identity. He has forgotten his identity. And not only he forgotten his identity, immediately this idea developed inside as I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam got into him at that point. If you ask why Krishna is doing this, Acharya Swamiji once asked Krishna this question. First of all, Acharya Swamiji says to Krishna, you have, from you we have all come, isn't it? We have all come from you. All the jivas are nobody, from Krishna we had come. We are Krishna's part and parcel at the end, isn't it? We are Krishna's part and parcel. So Krishna has created all of us. That's one. Then what did Krishna do? Krishna created a thing called Maya to put us into these difficulties. Through all these miseries what we go through in the form of Maya. And we are fighting against this Maya day in and day out, is it not? In our, what exactly are we doing throughout life except fighting this Maya? In one form or the other, somebody says, oh, they send us this invoice, I have to pay this, why is he charging me so much? We cry at that time. Or we cry, the government, the council is sending a bill for something for which we think it's unjustified. And the bank is sending us something else. So many people from so many angles is trying to attack us in throughout day, throughout life, isn't it? Every time we are thinking, why are they doing this? So, in other words, we feel it's not justified. This is called vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means vyavaharigam. Vyavaharigam means our day-to-day routine activities in this world. So, I'm saying all these things to get a little bit more deeper penetration into this topic. Otherwise, there's no need to say all these things. But, anyway, when we deal with these things, vyavaharigalogam. Vyavaharam means these transactions in this world. We are always feeling this difficulty. We are always feeling this difficulty. So Maya is the one what we are fighting against all the time. So Krishna is saying here that the kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam has started for Purusha at that point. He forgets his identity and the three modes of material nature, and kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam has built up. And with the result of that is that Purusha has become conditioned and he has become jiva at that time. Purusha has become conditioned and become jiva. So this part and parcel of Krishna got conditioned by the modes of nature and he has become jiva at that time, and then jiva causes, goes on like that. So Krishna created the jiva, Krishna created the Maya also. Is it not? Maya is also, we remember, in the Bhagavatam we have seen, where did Maya come from? Vaidavyasa Maharshi saw Maya standing with folded hands in front of Krishna. Folded hands, she is standing there. And she is causing us all these problems in this world. So, we, jiva, has come from Krishna. This prakriti, material nature, or trigunam, three modes of nature, or Maya, she has also come from Krishna. And then, what does Krishna do? Krishna sends his own representative, who is the spiritual master called the Guru, to get us out of this Maya. See, Krishna sends the Guru also to us. So why is Krishna doing all these things? He has created us, then he has created Maya, and for us to escape from Maya, Krishna sends us the Guru to help us to get out of this Maya. So that is, Guru is not different from Krishna. You have to see it like that. Guru is non-different from Krishna. Guru and Krishna is non-different. Somebody said, what is the, I don't want to hear anything from a human Guru. Somebody said that. I want to only hear from Krishna. So actually there is no such thing as a human Guru. Guru is nothing but Krishna's manifestation in this world in front of us. That is Guru. So, Guru and Krishna are non-different in that sense. So, Krishna comes in the form of Guru to the spiritually inclined person or spiritually aspirant. To him, one who is aspiring to him, Krishna comes in the form of Guru to relieve him from Maya, to relieve his own parts and parcels from Maya. So, he created the living entities, he has created the Maya, and now he has send the Guru also to relieve him from that Maya. Acharya Swamiji asked Krishna, why all this? That is Leela. That's Leela. There is no answer to that question. There is no answer to that question. But the fact is to recognize that this is the process. Krishna's control is like that on us. And when we accept that, we will come out of this Maya, we will attain our pure transcendental position, Krishna, in spiritual life, and we will be released from the effect of Maya. So, in the next verse, Krishna will talk about this. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakrijan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasum. Krishna says here that the purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakrijan gunan. Purusha prakriti stohi prakrijan gunan bhunte. What does it mean? Purusha prakriti stohi prakrijan gunan bhunte. This purusha, what he does is, he stays within this prakriti. And what does he do? Bhunte prakritijan gunan. The gunas that has come from prakriti. The gunas that has come from prakriti. Bhunte. He eats them. He takes them. He accepts them. So once you have accepted the gunas that has come from... Now here, gunas means the three modes of material nature, but all the sukha dukkham, that is happiness and distress that has come from that, all that is bhunte. Bhunte means he is accepting it. He is eating it, in other words. So, purusha prakritistohi, because he is situated within the nature, purusha is within the nature, prakritijan gunan bhunte, he says. And asya gunasangaha na gunasangasa asad and asad janmasu karanam. Because of this gunasangasya, when purusha is in association with the gunasangasya, guna means the three modes, when purusha is in association with the three modes, gunasangasya, sad and asad joni janmasu, he gets birth in good wombs and bad wombs. Sad yoni and asad yoni. Sad asad yoni janmasu. Krishna is saying here that because of this guna sangasya. Krishna says guna sangasya, asya guna sangasya, sad asad yoni janmasu karanam. Sad asad yoni janmasu karanam. So now you know why we get different bodies. So many factors in this. Our vasana inside is the cause of our cause of association with a particular modes of nature. We go for that, isn't it? If our vasanas are very low vasanas, when I say low vasanas, tendencies are very sense enjoyment or sense gratification. What do? We will look for that opportunity, isn't it? That means our vasanas are like that. But the result of that is that association with the lower modes of nature will begin from that. And the result of that will be, you will accept a birth in that body again, in a lower body. You have to accept. There is no choice in that. But at the same time, if the vasanas are good, and if your association with the modes of nature is good, particularly with the modes of goodness, that's what happens, then what will happen is, you will get sad yoni janmasu, you will get in the birth in a good yoni, in a good environment, you will receive birth. So, sad asad yoni janmasu karanam gunasangasya. Gunasangasya is the association with the particular gunam, is the cause of that janmam. The cause of that janmam. So, purusha prakritistohi. Purusha prakritistohi bhunte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Often, many, many times, lot of people used to ask Prabhupada the same thing. How many times Prabhupada has quoted this verse? I can't even tell you. It is so many times. Why somebody is born as a dog? Somebody is born as a cat? Somebody is born as a tree? Somebody is born as a bird? Somebody is born as a human being? And somebody is born in America? Somebody is born in Africa? Somebody is born in India? Somebody is born in Europe. What is the cause of all these things? Krishna is put the whole thing into one line. Imagine that. The whole thing is summarized in one line. Karanam guna sangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. If you understand this line, and if you reflect and contemplate on this, all this illusion about why this happened, why that happened, why will all go. The why has to go, because the answer is here. There can't be any better answer than that. I have association, I have associated with such modes of nature, accordingly I have received the gift also, accordingly this body. Karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmasu sadyoni asadyoni. If I associate with lower modes, what will happen? I will accept that asadyoni. Asadyoni means such a womb where I will be enjoying the life of a dog or a cat or a pig or whatever, the lower bodies. You will have to accept that. Now, can Krishna say anything more than this? And if you still don't believe it, oh, I don't believe what Krishna says, what can you do? What can you do about it? Can anyone explain more than this? Why it is happening like this? Sadasad yoni janmasu karanam gunasangasya. These things were not to be discussed at all. It was accepted very easily by in the older times. Now it's becoming very much difficult because they want scientific proof for that. How do you prove these things? That is why I'm saying this 13th chapter, when you are doing the mananam on this 13th chapter, you must keep all these things in your mind and accept it as it is. Because once you accept that, then it will become much easier to go further from here. But if you don't accept it, and this also start questioning these things, because Krishna cannot give us, Krishna is not answerable to us. You have to remember that. Krishna is not answerable to us. He will tell us the things, and the mercy of the great devotees and acharyas, we have deeper understanding of these things, and we take advantage of that, and we'll go along with them, follow their footsteps, like Bhagavatam says. We go follow their footsteps, and then things will, when it starts working, we will see it. It is happening. It is happening. As I mentioned before, so many things what we call with the knowledge of our knowledge is completely foolishness, because knowledge in the sense which has come through senses has no meaning. It has no meaning. I'll give you an example for that. See, many things what we experience in this world, is based on our senses, isn't it? Our senses are giving us that information, and we accepting it as knowledge, is it not? Now take for example, if in this body, when we have a certain kind of senses, these five senses of knowledge and five senses of action what human being has got is not the same what a tiger has, or a lion has, or an elephant has, or a dog has, or a snake has. They have got different senses. In the sense that some of their senses are more prominent, some of them are less prominent. And they have importance to some particular, say, their tongue. I'll take for example one sense, tongue. The tongue is a important sense, isn't it? For us two things. It's a sense for speaking and a sense for tasting as well. That sense is situated in the tongue. For the tiger also it's there. But that sense in tiger, sense of taste in tiger, and the sense of taste in the human body, they are different, are they not? Because otherwise, if you offer a nice plate of halwa to tiger, would he like it? Whereas if you hand over a nice deer to him, a live one, he will happily eat it, sit down, that is his feast. For us the feast is halwa, for him the feast is the deer. So, although the senses are there in us and him, they are again different. Are they not? They are different. Their experience is different. So, what I am trying to say is this, that see for example, in human body itself if you take, a child sees something and he experiences it in one way. A young man sees something and he experiences it in a different way. And an older person sees the same thing and he experiences it in a different way. Between a child, a young man and an old person, a same object is experienced in three different ways. Say a child is seeing a huge elephant. What will he say? Oh, how big is it? Isn't it? So big he is. He looks with wonder and amazement at the elephant's powerful tusks and the huge trunk and big huge legs and his huge body, acres of space all over the body. And when he sees him being bathed by the mahouts, rubbing his body day in and day out, and so much to bathe and the strength of him, all this amazes the child. For a young man, what does he experience? He's grown up a little bit more. He knows that the elephant can be controlled with properly. If it is trained properly, there are certain things we can make elephant to do. And you will see that aspect of the elephant more than he will not be wandering, standing there like the child, would he? So the child experiences one object in one way. The young man experiences it in another way. The same thing, a much older person, he will not feel exactly like the young person has thought. Why? The older person will see the elephant in a little different way. He will think, this elephant is more or less getting close to his end of life, like me. That's how the older person will think. Why? Because he is seeing in that body the age as more predominating factor there, rather than its strength or ability to do things or anything. Rather, he will see, so-and-so elephant is 100 years old, because their life is almost same as human life. You have to remember. So as they get older, the elephants also become like human being, tired and unable to do many tasks. So old man will see, if somebody is using an older elephant to pull the trees down or to carry the logs of wood, he will feel a compassion for the elephant. He will say, why they make this old elephant to do these things? Why? Because he is relating himself with that elephant. So, why I am saying this is, the object is the same, isn't it? Elephant is the same in three different persons. The young boy, the child, the young man and the older person. But they experienced in three different ways. You see, they experienced in three different ways. So similarly, Krishna is saying there, that everything in this creation is false in that sense, that what is truth in these things? Which one will you call it as truth now? We are saying, this is the truth, this land is the truth, this country is the truth, or this tree is the truth, or something else is the truth. We call everything as very truth, isn't it? But strictly speaking, nothing is truth, because they are all changing according to your changing. When you are changing, your understanding is also changing. So, strictly what we say is that, what you are seeing in this creation is nothing but Maya's manifestation. As you are experiencing at that particular time in your life, in particular place, in particular circumstances, that what you are seeing at that point, but that's not permanent. That can change tomorrow. And as you grow older, your understanding also will change. So similarly, but what is truth is, the experience is a truth, that you are experiencing something. That is a truth. And who gives you that experience? It comes from the soul. The soul is giving you that opportunity to experience a particular thing in this world. And that experience is truth. But the object is false. Is it not? The object is false. Object is changing. Object is always changing according to our existence, in what level we are. But what do? We accept whatever we see in this world. The science is saying, everything what you see is truth, everything what you don't see is all false. But Shastra is, Vedas are saying, no, everything what you see is also not truth. That is also subject to change according to your situation. In which condition you are existing, accordingly, that also changes. So, that is also not truth. But you can say that what you are experiencing is truth. Experience is there, no doubt. Child is experiencing something, the young man is experiencing something, the old person is also experiencing something. That's all truth. So, experience is truth, but what is being experienced is not truth. That is changing all the time. That is what is called Maya. That's Maya. So, our sages have gone much more deeper into this than the scientists. Scientists have gone only up to a certain level. They couldn't go further than that. They couldn't think beyond that. They have, now many of them have thought deeper also, and they are also a little bit perplexed about it, their scientific theories. It's causing them problem for themselves now. Their own mind is getting confused about it. What they were thinking as truth so far, they realize now it's also not truth. So far everything on the understanding of the material elements and material theories, they're manufacturing and manipulating. That is why the scientific theories are constantly changing, because of this. Because the experience is changing, theories also have to change. You see? So, Krishna is saying here, what does Krishna say? Krishna says here, Prakritistohi bunje prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. And this verse has got a lot more to say about it. It's much an interesting verse. Only thing you have to look at it this way and think about it also. You'll find a lot of answers to many of our questions in Bhagavad Gita. And many great personalities, they found it interesting because they have reflected on it very well. That's why their success was. In life also, normal our day-to-day life, we do many things, isn't it? And when we do many things, later on sometimes we regret why we did like that. Have you done that? I'm sure I've done it many times, but I don't know about you, I'm sure all of us have. Why did I do that? Answer is this verse. Purusha prakriti stohi bhumte prakritijan gunan. When I am in a particular prakriti, associated with a particular prakriti, for example, say you are dealing with your boss at the office. While dealing with your boss, you don't want to fight with him and create life hell for everybody, for yourself. You want to be tolerant. You're tolerating him basically, isn't it? He is demanding a lot from you and you're tolerating him. Now, suppose you had to deal with him in the mode of goodness. Because your modes of nature is very much, you are in knowledge at that time. In other words, you are in knowledge at that time. Even if he oversteps his line and talks rudely, you will still be controlled, able to handle him or deal with him. All these verses are a little bit, psychology is there in that. Yeah? That you will see when we discuss it. So, you will be able to deal with him at that time. You will not be affected by his rudeness or by his harsh words or whatever he was expecting from you. You will be able to handle him in the mood of goodness. But say you were in the mood of passion, what will happen? What will happen? Smash the door and slam the door and leave him himself, let him go to hell, he can do what he wants and come and sit on your seat. And then you will reflect on it later. You say, why did I do like that with him and caused all this trouble? Isn't it? Sattvagunam to rajogunam, that is where it happened, that changes. He may be in tamogunam, the boss may be in tamogunam. I'm not expecting all the bosses to be in sattvagunam. Don't get me wrong. He is in tamogunam. But if you are in sattvagunam, you can still deal with that tamogunam person to some extent, but you have to be always in sattvagunam. And similarly, this particular verse is little bit more than that. Purusha prakritistohi bhumte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmasu. Not only janmasu, in our life also karanam gunasangasya. Not sadasadyoni janmasu alone. Sadasadyoni janmasu is one thing. But even during the life in this world, karanam gunasangasya. Prabhupada used to talk about this verse a lot of times. Used to speak, making people be aware of this importance of this. Now why it's saying like that? Sorry, I'll just give you an example. Say in the office. Why I'm giving all these examples is to get a little bit more closer to the Krishna's words. Krishna, say in an office, you're working. You are in a group of say 5 or 10 people working together. Suddenly your boss has resigned and left. He got another job somewhere and he's gone. And everybody in the group is thinking, somebody has to take over that job. Will the company will bring someone from outside? Or will they promote someone from within us? So there is a desire for say all the 5 members in the group to take over that position. And out of the 5, one person is very good. He is very capable. And generally you would have expected that person to take over that job. Isn't it? You would have normal, if everything is fair in this world, but normally it's not. It's never fair like that. It's never fair. I've lived through this working life and I've seen this also. It's always happened. All you can do is to sit and watch this fun, what goes on there. That, so one person who should have got that job, he didn't get it. Somebody else who had gone and pulled the string somewhere else in the upper level, he managed to get in there. He got that job. After he got the job, now he's the team leader. So what does he do? He invites all the team members for a drink or for some meeting, something together. And everybody congratulates him, right? Everybody congratulates him. But at that time, do you know what goes through that person's mind at that point? that person, if he is a human being, he will think like this. I have done all these things, that's why I got it. I've done something wrong, because he knows someone else who is more qualified and capable of doing this job than him is in the group. He didn't get it. I got it. Because I did certain things which are not proper in the sense that that person didn't get it, he got it. So while you are shaking your hands with him, in his mind somebody is telling him that what you have done is not wrong. That is the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Ubadreshta anumanthaja kartha bhokta maheshwaraha. Krishna is saying here that somebody who is telling from inside that what you have done is wrong thing at that point, and he gives you a little pain inside at that time. I am not the right person, but still I got it, so shake the hands now. That's the mood he is shaking. But he won't tell you that. He's not able to identify with it. In other words, do you understand? He's not able to absorb that. Congratulations from his colleagues. Why? Because he has pulled the strings behind. Somewhere he has put the spanner and changed that other person's opportunity. He has put the spanner and he took over. This is what has happened. So this is an example Krishna is saying here in this verse, that karanam gunasangasya purusha prakriti stohi bhumte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmaso. Why do you think that person felt like that? Why did he feel like that? I give you another example for children, how children can relate with this. In the school, when we went through the childhood, when we had to study, say for GCSE, you had, say, 10, 12 subjects you had to take for GCSE. Now, in the class, you are on the top. You are doing everything to the best. You are on the top. And everybody expected that you will come out with A star in all the 12 subjects, whatever that was. So, The exam was over. And when the results came, you find that the brightest student who had the best ability and all the teachers were predicting the best results for him, the 12 A stars child, he got only 11 A stars. And on the 12th one, he didn't get any A star, not even didn't get an A. He got a B or C or whatever that is. So, the exam go over, results have come. So when you analyze it, this child will naturally think, somebody else has come with 12 A stars and took over that position, the leading position in the class with the highest marks, whatever it happens sometimes like that. So this child will think, who has got 1 B now, that one subject, why I did wrong like that? What happened to me? Why did that happen to me? Isn't it? Will that not thought come to him, come to the child at that time? It will come. I'm sure it will come to any student who is studying seriously and spending a lot of energy in that direction. He will think, why I could not make it in that one subject. And because of that, he lost a scholarship or he lost some financial benefit, whatever he was expecting from the government or council, whatever it is. That's another thing. I'm just trying to say this, that situations like this, something inside is telling us that what has gone wrong? Why did that happen? And who is saying this to us? That is the super soul. That is the super soul. Super soul is talking to us like that. Super soul's way of talking is like this. Super soul doesn't call us and tell us on the phone that why you have done like this. But this is how super soul communicates with us. And Krishna says, this is a very important topic, I'll tell you why it's important. It can make people crazy also. When you don't know these way life has to go on in this world. That when you are relating with super soul will always give you certain hints, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And we still will go and do it. And then somebody is telling from inside, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done that. Is it not? And that is super soul. That's Krishna, he's telling us. And in the next verse, this is pointed out very clearly. And if you understand that next verse, and if you keep that in your mind, in your dealings with this world, then the possibility of making that mistake won't happen. Ubadrashtanumanta cha bhartha bhokta maheshwara paramalpmedi cha pyukto dehesmin purusha paraha. So in the last verse, I talked about this incident when I mentioned about this incident. Last verse, when I mentioned this incident about the office business and all that, I was trying to say that purusha prakritistohi bhunte prakritijan gunan. I gave you this example for that, of the student's experience as well as the experience in this office. Because of this only, that all the spiritually advanced people will advise us not to quarrel with anybody, not to argue and fight with anybody. Because if you do that, what will happen is, that will stay in us. Immediately whatever has happened is happened. That's okay. That is forgotten and gone. But that seed of that action, what you have done, will stay inside in the karma bank. Karma vasana, it will stay there. And that will cause problems later in our execution of karma in this world. We won't be able to adapt to the world easily. Because this thing inside will constantly bring some problems to us inside. And that is why, like I mentioned to you, the man who got promoted, not in the proper way, through his pulling strings or whatever, his consciousness will always tell him that I got in here in the wrong way. In the wrong way. I was not qualified for this. Somebody else was qualified. I took over his position. Virtually he should have gotten it. In the normal way, isn't it? In the fair way, the right person should have got it. But he didn't get it. I got it, but I got it in the wrong way. And that will become a black spot on his consciousness. And that black spot on his karma will affect him in an unfavorable way later. It will affect him in an unfavorable way. You see, none of us have any freedom to act in this world the way we want it. Because if you understand the subtleties of these things, then you'll know that how dangerous this is. And therefore, especially in material world, we have to be careful. What to talk about spiritual life, how much more careful we have to be. Once you come to spiritual life, and you start doing this kind of things, which I have witnessed again and again many times with people, then they come to spiritual life, and then they think, I have to serve Krishna. So not to serve Krishna, I have to kick anybody else out from my life. And reject anybody and play all the games, politics and misunderstandings, envy, everything comes in the name of serving Krishna. But what is actually happening is, because he has not understood this Krishna's words here, this will become more and more negative in his spiritual life. But he does not know that. He doesn't know that. He is thinking, I am serving Krishna with all my enthusiasm. I'll do anything what I can. I'll cheat, I'll rob, or I'll beat up somebody if I need to, if I have to do anything, because I'm serving Krishna. Krishna doesn't want this kind of service, I'll tell you the truth. What Krishna wants is to understand how actually we are hurting ourselves. That's what we do not know. We are hurting ourselves. And that is why Krishna is saying here, Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunayan, if you take the gunas from the Prakriti, you are actually trying to promote your Prakriti. You're trying to promote your Prakriti. Prakriti means modes of nature. And if you deal this kind of things in your life, whether in material life or spiritual life, it is bad enough in material life. Material life also we have to do all these kind of things. Completely rejecting others, completely ignoring others, completely not giving value to anybody, and thinking that I am always right, I'll do what I want. If he wants to come with me, he can come. If he doesn't, he can go where he likes. This attitude is a very dangerous thing in spiritual life. So in material life itself is wrong thing to be considerate to others and to know that what is fair, that is to be accepted. Right? And that is Krishna's words are like that. That if we reject that and if we think that we have the right to dictate to others everything, what we want, and then try to control others in that way, Krishna says, Karanam guna sangasya sadasadyo ni janmasu. Immediately you have to accept a lower body because that has come unfavorably in your karma. It has come unfavorably in your karma. All these things Krishna goes talking about it in much more in detail, because those things are important for a spiritual person, for one who wants to advance in the spiritual path, they are important. So, karmam will not be pure if you do things like this. Karmam will not be pure. Karma shuddhi. It is called karma shuddhi. That means disturbing another person, acting violent towards another person, being inconsiderate to others, and trying to justify your action through other means is not the way to progress, and that karma will bring unhappiness. That karma will bring unhappiness. There will be no purity in that karma. Krishna is bringing that point very subtle way. He says it will go in a very sushma form, in a very subtle form, it will stay in your karma vasanas. In your karma vasana, it will stay there, and that will come out later in some other form, and will cause problems for yourself. So, ubadrashtanumandajam bharta bhokta maheshwaraha paramalpedi cha pyukto dehesmin purushaparaham. So, Krishna is saying in this verse, ubadrashta, anumanda, karta, bhokta. Four things. Ubadrashta, anumanda, karta and bhokta. Now, what does ubadrashta means? Ubadrashta, upa means nearer. Just like we say upanayanam, isn't it? Upanayanam means getting closer. So, opening your eyes, upanayanam, closer to you. So, ubadrashta. Ubadrashta means one who is sitting with you, he is the closest to you and he is seeing you. He is seeing you. He is observing you, your actions. That's what it is. Ubadrashta. One who sits next to you and watching you. One who is sitting next to you and watching you. He is called ubadrashta. Ubadrashta means that. One who sits next to you and watches you. Ubadrashta. Anumanta. Anumanta means one who anumodanam. Anumodanam means one who congratulates you. That means when you are doing some work, somebody is telling from inside, you have done it nicely, you have done it properly. Do that. Or he gives you the permission to do that. That is anumanta. Anumanta means one who gives you permission from inside to do a particular thing. Anumanta. This is all super soul's function inside. He is allowing you to do certain things. How he is allowing you, as I mentioned to you before, when you are doing this, if he is not telling you from inside, don't do that. That means he is allowing you to do that. But sometimes people say, oh, Krishna Super Soul didn't tell me anything, so I've done it like that. But that's not the proper way to accept it like that. In fact, if he is properly studying Bhagavad Gita and all, then he will not act like that. People who say like that, they don't study Bhagavad Gita. They just talk rubbish without any knowledge of it. But one who has cultured this Bhagavad Gita in him, he will not say like that. He will think before he does anything. He will think before he does anything. Often you will find in the modern world, it's a tendency with many people acting very rudely and without any consideration for others. And then we also notice that same person suffering in so many ways in this world. Then you do not understand why he has been so enthusiastic to do so many things in this world and is so capable, this, that and the other. Why? Because throughout his life he has kept to so many others, and that is coming back to him in different ways in his personal life. You see? So, in order to be happy in this world, Krishna is saying here, keep these four things in your mind. Ubadrashta, Anumanta, Karta and Bhokta. Four things. Ubadrashta means one who sits next to you and watches you. Anumanta means he gives you permission to do it. Karta means he is the doer. Actually, Krishna is the doer. That also we have to be conscious of, because we think that we are the doer, isn't it? But Krishna says, you are not the doer. Our ahankaram or false ego has made us to think that we are the doers. We are the doers. That's our false ego. But strictly, Krishna is the doer. We are only working with Krishna. Krishna is telling me to do this, I am doing that. That mood has to build up. Otherwise, we will misidentify that, oh, I am the doer. I have discussed with Krishna and I made the decision. That's how we will think. That's our ahankaram, false ego in us. So, ubadrashta, anumanda, karta. And when the results come, also you have to think, bhokta is Krishna. Karta, Bhokta. Bhokta is Krishna. Krishna is the one whose the result should go to. If all these factors are kept in mind, then there will be no crisis in the mind. Then there will be no crisis in the mind. Otherwise, if we reject all these things, and strictly, if you, one who does not care for any of these things, and acting whimsically, in a mad way in this world, you can see his life is also a total madness. Absolute madness it is. There is no happiness either at work, or at home, or anywhere, and then getting drunk, and absorbed in all kinds of sinful activities, no goal in life, everything completely confused, and sometimes ends up in all kinds of distressful conditions. Why? Upadrashta anumanta cha karta bhokta maheshwara. Krishna says here, paramatmedi chapyukto dehesmin purushaparaha. That four things what Krishna has mentioned there, maheshwara. Maheshwara means the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, upadrashta anumanta karta bhokta maheshwara. Krishna says, all these things are my duty in you, while situated within you. It's me who is doing it. So what is our duty then? Our duty is to recognize that all the time. While acting in this world, material world or spiritual life, whatever it is, always to keep this in our mind. Upadrashta is Krishna. Anumanda is Krishna. Karta is Krishna. Bhokta is also Krishna. How should I act now? That's the way we have to look at it. Otherwise, some of the things before, when we read Bhagavad Gita, we had no clue about all these things. We didn't know any of these things. What did we think about it? We think, if I can pull him down somehow, and I can get him there, then I'm smarter than him, isn't it? In the schools particularly, you notice this among the children, how they talk about it. If I can pull that man down, and then come from the schools itself, and then when they get to the workplace later, when they start working later, this grooming from youth, from the childhood, will manifest in that person very often. And then he start making efforts to advance in his material life. He does all these things. I'm just only giving you one example. This is not only in the schools and office places. It happens in politics. It happens among scientists. It happens among philosophers. It happens among economists. In every act in this world, you take the same thing is happening. The same tendency to pull somebody else down to take over that from him. Is it not? So there, this is forgotten. This thing is forgotten. Upadrashta, Anumanta, Karta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. That Krishna's role in that, Krishna says, you have forgotten that. And you have gone and done something. So you pay for it. That's the answer to that. So if one keeps these things in perspective, and if one acts with these things in the background, then the possibility of doing some mistake in that way is very little. It will not happen, because he is peaceful within himself. He is peaceful within himself, isn't it? Why he should not be peaceful? Because he is feeling, I have acted in a Krishna conscious way. That is what Krishna consciousness means. To act in a way how Krishna has spoken us to act. Not that, oh, I become this, I become that in spiritual life, somehow or the other I got there. And others, they are all useless. They couldn't do anything. I have got this so far in such a small time. And then convince the rest of the world how I got there. Is this all rejection of Krishna's own words? Because they have not understood what Krishna is saying there. In order that the spiritual life builds up in a person, and there's 20 qualities we discussed earlier in Jnana Yogam, in order that that qualities has to come, one has to adhere to these rules and regulations, what Krishna is mentioning here. Upadrashta anumanta jat karta bhokta maheshwaraha paramal medija pyukto dehe esmin purushaparaha. Now, something more. When all these words were spoken, and if you have understood that, you may wonder why Krishna has been speaking all these things in the battlefield to Arjuna. Isn't it? Why Krishna has been talking to Arjuna all these things? And this is also an answer to the question to those who raise fingers at Krishna and say that Krishna was encouraging war. Krishna was encouraging war. By hearing all these things, do you think Arjuna will go and fight? by hearing these things? Can anyone fight? If you tell him about the Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu, Arjuna will have to think then, isn't it, before fighting, that if this is what I'm going to do, what will happen to me? Why should I fight? So, from these verses, you can understand, Krishna's intention was not just to create the war. That was not the reason behind it. That was not the Krishna's goal. On the other hand, if Krishna wanted to encourage Arjuna to fight, what should he have said to Arjuna? All Krishna has to do was few things. He doesn't have to discuss any of this. Arjuna, do you remember when you were young boys, what the Kauravas have done to you, you lot? They put you in that house of what's called lack, isn't it? And set fire to it. And we would have whipped up Arjuna's passion inside in that way. That's what Krishna would have done. Would he not? Krishna had to only set up a few things. Even in family fights, I don't know whether you have experienced this, some of you I'm sure. When within the family, then there is some misunderstanding builds up. Say, somebody has worked very hard, amassed a lot of wealth, a rich man. And this rich man dies, suddenly leaving all the wealth to his sons and daughters, right? And among them, they had to share the wealth. They share the wealth. So when they had to share the wealth, some of them who are a little bit more cleverer than the other, some of them are a little willing to accept what he gets. Some of them are not. Some of them are a little bit more calculative or manipulative. They decide to set it up in such a way and take the maximum from the wealth. And this will cause some unhappiness for the other people also, isn't it? Who is employed in the same way. So what Krishna is saying here is that, the problem that will arise from that is that people who got affected by that partition, when the partition happens, in their family later on, they realize that they have cheated us. My other brothers have cheated me. Some or other sister has cheated me. Something like that between the family members, it can develop. And they will keep this in their mind, and it will stay in their mind for a long time to come. So normally what will happen is, sometimes that bitter feeling will not leave them for a long time, isn't it? So what will happen? They will say this to their children, next generation. So remember what they have done to us? You know, how they have cheated us when this partition was done. This I'm only one example. Like this, so many things happens in this world. And never forget that. He will remind his children this. Don't forget that, what has happened at that time. So the children grow up with these thoughts in his mind, because you have already planted the seed inside. And that seed will grow, and then he is looking for an opportunity to give back to him, to what he got, for his father got it from them. So it has gone from this generation to the next generation like that. You see, it's gone from one generation to the next generation. So like this, all Krishna had to do to Arjuna was, Arjuna, do you remember this, what they have done? They set fire to that house when you are sleeping with your brothers and with your mother. And that Duryodhana, remember what he has done? He has arranged the people to set fire to the whole house so that you die. Not only you die, your mother die and all your brothers die. What he is waiting here for now? Take the bow and fight now. That's what Krishna should have said to Arjuna, isn't it? Number one. Number two, remember what they have done to your brother, Bhima? If you remember Mahabharatam, this story is there. That what the Kauravas did was, they knew Bhima's strength. So this Duryodhana was the most inimical person to Bhima. So they invited Bhima for a party. And in the party, what they did, it was in the river, Ganga River, Banks River. And they tied a huge stone and pulled him into the water and pushed him underneath and fed him poison and sent him down into the water, to deep down in the water, to kill him. But Bhima escaped because Krishna wanted Bhima has to come out successfully. That was Krishna's decision. Duryodhana didn't know that this was going to happen. But Duryodhana thought Bhima was finished. But that Bhima had come back and fought the war later. And what they have done to Bhima was particularly a very heavy cheating and inviting him for a party and doing this. And Arjuna knows about it. And Krishna could have reminded that to Arjuna at this time, if he wanted Arjuna to fight. Only thing, he has to coin the words in the proper way and put it to him. That's all. And Arjuna's fire will start burning inside, isn't it? That Arjuna will build up strongly. Another instance, when Draupadi was disrobed, Arjuna was sitting there, Bhima was there, Yudhishthira Maharaj was there, Nakula, Sahadeva, everybody were there. And what Dushasana has done to your wife, to Draupadi, and you are sitting here talking all this philosophy, that how I should fight, you are asking me. And like this, Krishna could have spoken to Arjuna at that time, could he not? If he wanted, he could have spoken in that way. But you don't see anything like that in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has not spoken any such words to Arjuna. On the other hand, all what Krishna has spoken is words to taking him to the spiritual side of life. On a higher platform, he is talking to Arjuna, and through Arjuna to us. Through Arjuna to us. So this is why this argument, whenever anybody tells you about Krishna as a warmonger, or Krishna has caused this fight between Arjuna and between the Kandavas and Kauravas, and Krishna should not have, so many people got killed in that war, 6-7 million people, 640 million or something they say, it's a very huge number. And based on that, judging Krishna on that basis is meaningless. It has no meaning. It has no meaning. Because that is not how Bhagavad Gita was presented to Krishna, presented Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. When they understand Krishna's teachings, when they understand Bhagavad Gita, they'll be able to understand why this battle took place, why the so many people were killed. After that, you can judge Krishna. You can take Krishna into the court. Not before that. Before you understand Krishna, please do not make any judgments about Krishna. Try to understand why, what Krishna has spoken and how it has affected Arjuna. And after that, you can make that decision whether Krishna has spoken the proper things or not. None of these verses, Krishna is only saying to Arjuna, Karanam Gunasangasya, Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. Gunam is the cause of this, and Gunam will work. If you don't want to associate with Gunam, they are already associating with the Gunams. Who? The Kauravas. And that will happen. You cannot help in these things. And that is the higher knowledge, what is to understand. And then how to act in that situation, that what comes much later in the Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says, Krishna only brings forth the situation and explains with logic and reasoning to Arjuna and leave the decision to Arjuna to decide which way to go further. So, here you see here, Ubadrashta Anumanta cha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara Paramalpmeri jap yukto Dehesmin Purusha Paraha. Then, if Krishna had the desire to encourage Arjuna to fight, you can see from these verses, Krishna had no such plans to encourage Arjuna. That whatever Krishna has spoken, it was not for creating a fight. Paramalpedi chap ukto dehesmin purusha paraha. When one understands these things, then our mind will not fall into crisis. Our mind will not fall into crisis. Otherwise, we will be in crisis all the time. I'll give you another example. And through these examples, you will get a feel that sometimes you notice people get so disturbed in their life. So disturbed. And not only they get disturbed, there is always a friction inside. There's always a friction inside. Something is not falling in line. Totally disturbed. Why this disturbance has come is because this verse has not been accepted by that person. This verse has not been accepted by the person. If you accept these verses, and if you are acting in that way, there is no possibility of that crisis coming like that. So many examples for this. Especially those who know people who are disturbed in their daily life due to certain reasons. Why? Because most of the instances, if you see, you will notice that this is the reason. That that you have not taken into account this factor of super soul in life. ഉപദ്രഷ്ട അനുമന്ത കർത്ത എൻ ഭോക്ത മഹേശ്വര പരമാത്മേദി ചാപ്യുക്തോ കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് പരമാത്മേദി ചാപ്യുക്തോ ദേഹേ അസ്മിൻ പുരുഷ പരാഹ അസ്മിൻ പുരുഷ ദാൻ പുരുഷ വിത്തിൻ പര സുപ്രീം പേഴ്സൺ ഇസ് വിത്തിൻ മീ വിത്തിൻ ഇൻഡിവിജ്വൽ കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് പരമാത്മേദി ഈസ് എ സൂപ്പർ സോൾ യു കെൻ റീഡ് ദ ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദീസ് ഇൻ പ്രഭുപാദ്സ് translation purport and you will get a much more clearer picture. But I'm only saying things which can on the surface, but little more detail there in the Bhagavad Gita. So once it so happened that there was a man living with his wife. Yeah. Somehow the other, between the man and the woman, there was no good relationship. In other words, they could not live together very peacefully. Husband says one thing, wife will say the opposite. Wife will say something, husband will say the opposite. And they will both blame each other, thinking that, oh, why she doesn't agree with me or why he doesn't agree with me. Like this, it went on. In other words, there was a friction within the family. So they got married, and after 5 or 6 months, the wife died. So other people knew about this, that the husband and wife were not getting along very well. They had difficulty in their relationship, as they say these days, isn't it? Relationship. So relationship was not going very well. The ship was in trouble. So they said that when the wife died, they said the husband has killed her. That's how the next thing. The people need something to talk about anyway. So they started talking about it, saying that there was something must be behind it. What do they say in India? They say sari got fire from the cooking gas or something like that, or the stove has got blasted or things like that. They set fire in the kitchen, and then they will say, oh, it got fire in the kitchen while cooking, that's how she died, and things. As you know, will they attach the dowry and all that, systems like that. So enough money wasn't given, so therefore this problem was started. And there was no happiness in the family life. And all, as you read in the newspaper, all these things. So that's not important, but we'll come to the point. When these things happened, after 6 months when the wife died, he got married again. He got married again, a second marriage. So all the people started saying, definitely he has killed her, he wanted to marry this girl, that's why he killed her, he did this and that, the other. So it happened like that. So, but then what happened was, every night when he slept, in the sleep, he felt that his first wife was coming and telling him so many things, in that sleep. In the sleep, she was telling him so many things. And the next day, when he was talking to his second wife, who is living now, she repeats the whole thing to him. The things were spoken by the second wife. He was hearing from the first wife in the night, while sleeping. The next day, the second wife is telling the very same things what he heard from the first wife. So he got into problems. These kind of things do happen in this world. Don't take it simple, eh? Some of the psychological problems people experience in this world are such amazing problems. Where did they come from? If you understand that, then only you will appreciate Krishna's words. So this person, when these things happened, he did not know what to do. He couldn't sleep. As soon as he goes to sleep, the first wife is coming, telling him things. And in the next day, the second wife is repeating the whole thing to him. See, the psychology, the human relationship inside mind is a very, very, very complicated thing. We don't know which way it will go. And then we get disturbed and we are trying to analyze it. Why this happened? Why that happened? Anyway, he went to a psychiatrist. Because what else can he do? That's also there, isn't it? But the psychiatrist understood the problem. He understood the problem, what was happening. So what he did was, he took one small bag, and in that bag he put quite a few coins of say 5 pence, 10 pence, 20 pence, 50 pence, 1 pound, a mixed bunch of coins in that. And didn't tell him how much is there, how much money is in that bag. He gave this to this man and told him, take this with you, he said. Take this with you, go home, and keep it with you while sleeping. And when she comes in the sleep and starts talking to you, asking, telling you so many things, you just give her this bag and ask her to find out how much money is in that. He told her like this. He could not understand why he is telling me like this, the psychiatrist, all these things. He couldn't understand. Anyway, psychiatrist, he had faith in him, what I had. So he took it home. He didn't tell his second wife any of these things because he couldn't tell her anything. But then it will become another issue, big issue in the crisis in the home. So because it was getting complicated, he had to keep everything inside. He couldn't tell his second wife either. So the second wife didn't know what was happening. He found him very disturbed, the husband. She was trying to, but she was telling all these things to him. And in the night, when the first wife came and started saying things to him, he told her in the sleep that I got this bag, please count it and tell me, please tell me how much it is in that. With that the problem stopped. The problem stopped then and there. So that night he had a good sleep. He got up in the morning and the next few days he didn't have this problem. Problem stopped there. It didn't happen again. Why did that happen? Try to understand this. The way mind works. If he knew anything, she will know that. Right? If he knew anything, the first wife will know it. That is how that relationship was. He went back to the psychiatrist and asked him, how did this happen? So the psychiatrist told him, it stopped because, do you know how much money is in that bag? He says to this man. The man says, I don't know. That's what it is, he said. You didn't know about it, so she didn't know that. If you knew how much it was in there, she would have known that and it would have come back to you in some way. And so this psychology, that is, that if we knew something, this is on a very superficial level I am saying these things, but when it gets through deeper subjects in life, when it gets to other things in this world, it can affect in a little bit more deeper way, like our relationship with people, husband's relationship with men, other women, women's relationship with other men and women. All these things are factors in this. So, he was saying there that the Ubadreshna Anumanda Karta Bhokta Maheshwara, if your consciousness or your mind is accepting things and if it is transporting those things to somebody all the time, in a subconscious level, it is working like that. In a subconscious level, it is working like that. In other words, whatever crisis that person was having in his subconscious mind, it was getting gone to the other woman also, to the wife, in the first wife. And it's the same thing that was happening with the second wife also, unknowingly. And the second wife in the morning was talking to him openly, whereas the first wife was talking to him in a covered manner. But the subconscious mind has already been working together between the three persons. What was going through in his mind was working, affecting the first wife as well as the second wife. From the first wife, it was manifesting in the dreams. From the second wife, it was manifesting in the vacant state, in the Jagrat. That was the only difference. But subconsciously this was happening, he was not aware of that. All the confidential things, what he was keeping to himself, was coming out from these two people. And why there was so much confidential things inside? Because he had to keep it Ubadrashta Anumanta Chakarta Bhokta Maheshwara. He has forgotten that. He has completely ignored the super soul aspect of it and took upon himself to manipulate things and people. And in that process, this complication has come. But the moment he handed over, he realized that he shouldn't know something, others also would not know it. The situation became peaceful. Nothing happened. After that, it didn't happen to him anymore. Because he realized that this subconscious level, when you are acting, it is all in the subconscious mind, isn't it? What they call as the, scientists call as the subconscious mind. In the subconscious mind, many of these thoughts will go and they will stay there. And they will interact with the other person. In some way, it will get into their mind. Whether you have spoken to them or not, it will get into their mind. And that is the super soul aspect of it. Super soul is one sitting in everyone. And that is why I'm saying that Krishna is saying here also that if you are not careful of all these things and completely ignore everything and act in such a ruthlessly in this world without being considerate to others, what will happen is all this unhappiness will come back to you either through your wife or through your children or through somebody else, and you will only suffer in this world. So please take care of the super soul aspect of Krishna consciousness, whose presence within our body is very vital, and always to be in line with him, not to reject him and not ignore him. Ubadrashta anumanta jakarta bhokta maheshwara purusham paramalmedi chapyukto dehesmin purushaparaha. That purushaparaha, he is more important within the body. We should not, at any circumstances, ignore him in our actions or in thoughts. Under any circumstances, we shouldn't ignore his words. If you reject him, then the results will come in this way. Results will come in this way. And then what is the solution? Then the solution is turned into sinful life, isn't it? What will happen is, when people get so disturbed, you can see sometimes so many disturbed life conditions in this world. Married life, relationship with children, relationship with family members, with the society. And it goes on and on and on. Why? Why so much friction builds up in within the mind? Because you have forgotten the super soul aspect of it. Super soul's presence in the living entity is so important. People think that, oh, he's just witnessing, because he's not interfering with me, leave him alone. This is our mood, is it not? We think like that. Leave him alone. Let him do what he wants. He is not talking to me anyway. I have nothing to do with him. I'll do what I want. And my samskara in me is telling me, cheat anybody, kick anyone, let me get there somehow. My samskara is like that. So I follow that route. But Krishna is saying that if you ignore this side of me, he says, this side of me, what? Ubadrashta anumantacha karta bhokta maheshwaraha. Kartha, Ubadrashta, Anumanda. Prabhupada used to say this word many, many times, but it never got penetrated into many of the listeners. He was talking to the prime ministers and sometimes big philosophers and scientists, that he will quote this verse, Ubadrashta, Anumanda. But they'll say, what this is, what she's saying, Ubadrashta, Anumanda. But this is the fact of life, that those who have realized, those who are advanced devotees, who are realized these things, they will never overstep these things. They will not overstep this line. Ubadrashta, Anumanda, Karta, Bhokta. They will keep that in their mind. Therefore, there is no unhappiness in life. No, in spite of the fact that so much karma they are doing in this world, there is no distress in their life. They are still above that. Karma does not disturb them. Why? Ubadrashta, Anumanda, Karta, Bhokta. All the four things have been taken into account. And accordingly they have acted. And if you are acting that way, you cannot say, you cannot do wrong things, is there? You cannot do wrong things. But when you don't take into account, sometimes we can go in the wrong direction. Our activities can go in the wrong direction. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, Ushubhidrashta Anumantaja, Karta Bhokta Maheshwara, Paramalmedi Chakpyukto Dehesmin Purusha Paraha. Like in the last example also, about that promotion in the group. The same thing there also. He got promoted, but inside Super Soul is saying, no, that should not have been there. Isn't it? So that's why he is not able to enjoy it completely. Enjoy means he is not able to accept it totally. Why? Because this is from inside giving this trouble from inside. Inside this problem is happening. Inside he is saying, Super Soul is saying, you shouldn't have done that. And outside he has to accept all these congratulations from the colleagues and all the other members in the office. It is bigger when you go to higher positions. In the lower level, it's much smaller. But when you go to big companies, institutions, where there is ruthlessly each other, they are putting the knife against each other, and where virtually there is no culture exist. Typically, purely animalistic level, they deal with each other. That is in the higher level, in the big institutions that happens. And similarly among the politicians, this is exactly what goes on. It's not much different. Nowhere in the world, it's the same, exactly the same thing. There is no Upadrashta, no Anumanta, Karta, Bhokta, nothing. All the politicians trying to pull one against the other. This is the whole activity, whole day. That's what they're doing. If they were conscious of this, first of all, they won't be in the politics, first thing. But the fact that they're able to play this dirty politics throughout life shows that there is no understanding of any of these things. This is about politicians. What about the scientific world? Is there anything different there? They are equally bad in these things. When one scientist has found out something or whatever he has invented or anything, the other scientists will try. So many court cases going on among pharmaceutical companies and all that. Many big companies, they will invent something, but behind the scene, what all things goes on. Unbelievable things happens. And that's all those who are interested in that, legal courts and legal fights that comes from that, shows that how much they are aware of Upadrashta and Anumanta and Karta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. There is no understanding there either. Whether it is economists, politicians, scientists or philosophers, in every level when you look at, Krishna says, they have no understanding of my presence in them. You may be anybody in this world, but so long as you do not know that Krishna is within and Krishna is controlling us in this way, the result will be, remember that big famous incident in America when Watergate scandal happened. That's long ago. I don't know whether you are aware of these things, but many years ago when Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada was here, at that time only this happened, that President Nixon had I think he was Republican, to win the election, they bugged the Democratic Convention. And he has ordered that. It was all proven much later. He has ordered that. And he won the election, got into the position. And then after many years, investigation started, the famous Watergate scandal. And later on, he was impeached, one of the first presidents to be impeached in America by the law. He has to step down from that. And this thing has, what do they call, bugged him, isn't it, throughout life. Why did I do that? Later, he thought about it. Why did I do such a thing? It's too late. Upadrashta anumanta jakarta bhokta maheshwaraha. Never consulted super soul, did what he wanted. Later, it came back to him. That is one incident which has come out in the newspaper. How many are going on like this throughout this creation in the same way? Even animals don't act like this, some of the way human beings act. Animals are satisfied as soon as they get their food to eat and a place to sleep. They won't disturb you after that. You look at sometimes, if you look at the television, especially this Discovery Channel and also the Geographical Channels and all that, you will see something interesting there. Sometimes the lion or the tiger, you will run after a tiger, deer, a herd, a group of them. You'll get hold of one and he will eat it and kill it and keep it there for some time. And after some time, he will eat it slowly. Then he doesn't bother about the rest of the deer. He doesn't go and kill everybody, what he wants. He could kill. No, for the moment, his hunger is satisfied with that one deer. And that too, he will eat something and keep the rest for the evening or for the next day. And then 2 or 3 days, he'll finish it. Only when he's hungry next time, he will start his hunting again. That's a beauty. Lions, tigers, they all are like that. So even they have some control on their, life, in this way. Even they have certain higher principles in this than us. For us, no. Sky is the limit. Isn't it? Sky is the limit for us. We cannot stop it before that. That is the Rajogunam so powerful in us. Rajogunam so powerful in us. So what is Krishna saying here is that they don't consult super soul, who, these tiger and animals, because they don't have any knowledge like that. For us, Krishna has given this knowledge, consult, and given us Bhagavad Gita, so that we know these things, and we act properly. in this world, so that life goes smoothly in this world, not to get disturbed. And when you are peaceful, you can practice Krishna consciousness. You may not make millions of pounds by following Bhagavad Gita. That is never spoken. But if you follow Bhagavad Gita, what will happen is, life will become peaceful. And when life is peaceful, mind is peaceful, you can think about the next step in life, which is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it's not possible. If all the time mind is disturbed and entangled in all these material transactions of pulling one against the other, putting rope to other, and this way if he goes on day after day, what possibility is there in understanding Krishna? This is what Krishna is saying here. So, let's go on. Ya evam veti purusham. Before that, what you have to remember, Krishna is saying there that if you work with the super soul together, then you can get through this life without too much trouble. If you work with super soul. But if you ignore super soul and do things whimsically, then you will be in trouble. That's the warning in these two last two verses. Ya evam veti purusham. It is time now, I think we should stop. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.